Hallelujah. I hope you've had a wonderful day. I was having a good day, and then I got a call from Rosie. So I didn't see it to start with, and then I called her back, and she called me back. I tried to call her, and then she called me back, and she said, hey, Pastor, I just wanted to tell you, and of course I know Homer's been, he really is faithful to this. Every once in a while he gets out and really faithful to this church, but every once in a while the Lord will have him minister someplace. So that's great, and he always checks in. He doesn't have to, but he does. And so she goes, Pastor, I want to let you know that Homer has been offered a full-time ministerial position at a church here in Immokalee. And she said, and he's they've offered him a job there as full time. And I said, no. I started laughing. I know. She goes, and he's really, and she was straight, so serious. He's seriously considering it. And I said, what? I said, this is not, this guy says, has told me I'll be with you till the day I die. And I'm like, I said, what? And she goes, and she didn't say it. It popped out. I said, oh, April Fool's. Man. So I've had to try to recover. Oh, man. And Candy is up here, one of his best friends, and she goes, too bad it was an April Fool's. Man. Be ready for Sunday. Get ready for Sunday. We're going to have communion. It'll be a wonderful day. Easter Day, we'll celebrate our Lord's resurrection. And that's one of our favorite days, really, that and Christmas. And I know he had to be born first, but, boy, if he, you know, which one's the most important? He had to die, resurrected for us, for our eternal salvation. Thank you, Jesus. So come expecting to have a wonderful time in the Lord Sunday, and be prepared, those of you that are watching, to have communion service with us. It's going to be wonderful. Hallelujah. About, I'm not going to say exactly, but about 25 years ago, a young couple came into this building during a Dave Roberson meetings, and I believe that was their first time. Correct me if I'm wrong on that. And they visited, and that was Rex and Marcia Johnson. That's been like 25 years ago. And Rex had long hair then. Yeah. So it's been a while. And they never stopped coming back. Hallelujah. And they've become some of the most wonderful people. Elders, we've ordained them through this ministry. Rex is a regional president for the tribe of Judah, has been for a number of years, and his wife shares that position with him, and they travel and minister across the state in different places and have a wonderful ministry with the different motorcycle clubs that are not, you know, Christian clubs, but they get in there, infiltrate them, share the love of God, pray for them, get them born again in certain at times. Pray over their needs, and just wonderful ministry, and we support that, and we just praise God for it. Amen. Hallelujah. We just saying all that to say how much we love them, how much we trust them, and how much we appreciate them being with us all these years. And I'm sure, like any of you that's been around here, Satan's tried to run them off, but they are really tough people. They don't run from the devil. And they're just tough. And I appreciate Rex so much. He's one of my dear and best friends. And so hallelujah, man of integrity. Say all that. He's married to a woman of integrity, a great woman of God, and an elder, as I said, in this house. And she let me know two or three weeks ago, that if there was ever an opportunity, she had something in her heart, and that was that she felt like the Lord had given her. And if I ever wanted her to share, she'd be more than willing. So I asked her yesterday to come and share. So would you please welcome Miss Marsha Johnson. Amen. Now, if revival starts tonight, I'm going to be jealous. But we're here to support you, Marsha. You just have a great time.
I got it. Yeah, it's on. Okay, praise the Lord. Glory to God. God is wonderful, and we're so glad we got to be here all these years. It's just wonderful. I remember when the Lord spoke to us when we were at the conference out in Tulsa. I think it was October of 2005 that Tim, he said, I want you all to get a piece of paper and a pencil, and they passed out in case we didn't have one. And he goes, I want you to sit here and write what the Holy Spirit gives you. And what the Holy Spirit gave me was, you're called to be with Bronk and Candy, and that's where you're to be. And I just thought, well, glory to God, and we've been here all these years. Hallelujah. God is so good. But I really felt like the Lord wanted me to share on prayer, and because it's so important, it's so vital, because everything really is accomplished in prayer first. And I'd just like to read some lyrics of this song that Dave Ingalls wrote, oh, I think it was back in 1975. Well, I went to Rhema in 79 and 80, and anyhow, we would sing this song there at Rhema, and it goes, in life, there are things that confront us, but I know who to go to in prayer, and when I know what not to pray for, I yield to the Spirit in prayer. Praying in the Spirit in a brand new tongue, speaking to the Father in the Son, and with the heart believing that the answer has come, praying in the Holy Ghost. Groaning in the Spirit is yet another way, for the Spirit knows my Father's will, and thus I pray. My spirit, my soul, my body coincides as one when I'm praying in the Spirit in a brand new tongue. When the Spirit leads me in intercession, there's no cause at all for despair. And he knows the mind of the Father, and he specializes in prayer. So praying in the Spirit in a brand new tongue, speaking to our Father in the Son, and with the heart believing that the answer comes, praying in the Holy Ghost. Groaning in the Spirit is yet another way, for the Spirit knows my Father's will, and thus I pray. My spirit, my soul, and my body coincide as one when I'm praying in the Spirit in a brand new tongue. And you know, it's said from this pulpit all the time, pray in the Spirit. Dave Roberson taught us to pray in the Spirit. He'd have us come and sit and pray in the Holy Ghost. Just sit and pray in tongues. And I remember going to Rhema, and Dad Hagen, he taught us the same thing. He said, and really, he said, every preacher you ever hear, he said, you best have your Bible, a notebook, and you need to follow along, but you better be praying in tongues as they're even teaching you, because the Holy Spirit will help us so that we won't be deceived. Over in our prayer room, there are a couple of scriptures. Well, there's more than these two, but these are right on the front of the folder. And it says 1 Peter 4:7-8. But the end of all things is at hand. Be you therefore sober and watchful unto prayer. And above all things, have fervent love among yourselves, For love shall cover a multitude of sins. And it also says, and this is an extra scripture I added in 2 Thessalonians 1:3, that our faith grows exceedingly and in the love of everyone towards one another. And you know, and prayer works through faith and love. Faith works by love. We need to walk in that love. We need to walk in forgiveness and walk in all that God has called us to. And it's so vital to pray. Another scripture that's on that notebook over there, it says James 5:15-16. And the prayer of faith shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise him up. And if he has committed sins, they shall be forgiven him. Confess your faults one to another, that you may be healed, and the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. You know, we are righteous through the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what 1 Corinthians 1:30 says. But of him are you in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us, Jesus was made unto us, wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. So it's because of Jesus that we're righteous. I remember when I was young praying in tongues and young and praying just prayers to the Lord. And I can remember, you know, the enemy coming and saying, your prayers aren't availing anything. You know, you're not righteous. And that's when I learned, no, my righteousness is as filthy rags, my own. But when I stand in Christ Jesus, I am in right standing with God because of the righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's not in our own that we stand. It's not in our own that we pray. But it's through the Spirit of God. And that's why it's so important to pray in the Spirit. Because it first of all, by praying in tongues so much, it changes us. It gets rid of the uglies in us. It changes us from glory to glory, how God wants us to be. Because that's why it's so vital. Pray in the Spirit. That's why Pastor says it, other people say it. That's why Dave Roberson wrote that book about praying in the Spirit. Because we need to pray in the Holy Ghost. And that's so change can come in us. And even as that, we don't have to wait till we've arrived, because we still haven't arrived. I've been serving the Lord for 50 years and I'm still learning. I'm still adjusting. I'm still changing. But the thing of it is, we keep pressing in. We keep pressing on into God. But then God would be able to use us in prayer. By praying in the Spirit, by us yielding to the Lord, then he'll bring people before us. I told my kids and told other people over the years, if someone comes to your mind, it's not just for you to think about them. No, God brought you, their name to you or their face before you because they need you to pray for them. And the Bible says that in Romans 8:26, when we don't know how to pray for as we ought, the Holy Ghost will pray, give us what to pray as we yield to the Spirit. That's why it's important. I'll pray in English for somebody of what I know, and then I'll say, well, Holy Spirit, I just yield. Because you know what they need, so help me pray it through, whatever it is that they need. But it's so important for us to keep going into God. And we need to read the Word of God and meditate it so we're praying according to the Word. Because Dad Hagen, he taught there's all different kinds of prayers and you need to use the right one. He said, when it comes to healing, you don't pray if it be the will of God. No, we know from the Word of God that it's His will for us to be healed. So we don't have to pray, if it be thy will. No, we claim the Scriptures, Isaiah 53:4-5, Matthew 8:17, 1 Peter 2:12. 24, that by the stripes of Jesus we're healed. 107:20, he sent his word and healed us. And in Psalms 103, 1 through 5, it says, bless the Lord, O our soul, and don't forget all his benefits that he has for us. He has healing for us. He has prosperity for us. He has healed relationships for us. Everything that we have need of is a benefit from serving the Lord God. We're in the last days, and we need to pray. We want to see Jesus Holy Ghost meetings. We want to see people come in as we have confessed over the years and not give up, that the blind see, the deaf hear, the dumb speak, the dead are raised, the demoniacs are set free. And when they come in, they may need assistance, but when they leave, they're not going to need it, because the glory of God is going to be so in this place. But how is that glory going to come? By us going from glory to glory in God, by us standing and staying faithful and praying and worshiping God and going according to the word of God. After the Bible says, when we've done all, stand. You got to keep praying in tongues, and you stand and you worship God and see the manifestation come. When you're not seeing it, then raise your hands. Worship the Lord. I know I heard about Smith Wigglesworth, that when he got up in the morning, the first thing he did was he danced before the Lord. And this was when he still was a plumber, when he still had to go to work, when he had a job besides just being a full-time minister. He got up and he worshiped God. He praised God before he even started his day, before he even got dress for the day. He put God first. He worshiped God. We need to worship God. We need to pray. We need to do all those things and not get tired of doing it, but to be faithful. Faithful because he's faithful. Faithful is he who has called us, who will see it come to pass what he has for our lives. But how are we going to find out what he has for our lives? But by spending time with him, by getting intimate with the Father God, just to spend time with him. He is so real. I mean, it's amazing how things that he'll tell you and what he'll do in your life. He cares about every little detail about your life. He does. I'm hesitating on sharing this, but I think I'm supposed to go ahead. You know, we can be so intimate with God. And I have been. I've loved God from a child, even though I didn't grow up in the full gospelness of it. But my parents raised me in the best that they knew how and took us to church. But I remember always talking to God and telling him how much I loved him. And how I only wanted his way in my life. And I wanted everything that he had for me. And I wanted to do everything that he had me to do. And we can be so intimate with God. He'll tell us. He'll talk to us every day. He leads us every day. He will. He tells us. He'll just lead us and guide us and direct us. It's how much we're open up to him. It also says in Hebrews 4:16, let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in the time of need, according to the eternal purpose, which God purposed, and this is Ephesians 3, even 11, 12. He purposed in Christ Jesus in Lord, in whom we have boldness and access with confidence by the faith of him. See, we can boldly come to the throne of God. We can boldly, because Jesus is our righteousness. We go in right standing because of Him, to go into the very throne of God. God desires that. He desires the intimacy to be in our lives. And also, the Bible says that in 1 Thessalonians 5:16-17, rejoice evermore. And pray without ceasing in everything, not for everything, but in everything give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning us. And verse 19 goes on to say, quench not the Spirit of God. We're not to quench the Spirit. We need to go into God all that we can. We'll have that pure heart before God and be so open to Him that He can tell us anything. He can guide us. He can direct us. He can say, go to that store and there's a person there that I want you to minister to. And we can do it. I've had God do that to me over the years. Go down this street. I had went past the street and the Holy Spirit said, you were to turn down that street. You got to turn around. So I turned around and I went down the street and I go, okay, I'm down the street. Well, here's a yard sale. And he said, go to that yard sale. I said, okay. So I get out of the car and I go to the yard sale and the lady's there. And I said, well, I said, I'm just going to tell you why I'm here. I'm not here to buy anything. I said, the Holy Spirit, God told me to come stop here. And I said, so what is it that you need? The lady starts crying. She starts bawling. She goes, this isn't even my yard sale. I live behind. This is my neighbor's. She got called and she had to run to the school to pick up her daughter that got sick. And so I'm watching the yard sale. But just this morning, I said, God, if you're real, you show me that you're real. You reveal to me you if you're real. And she goes, and here you are. You're telling me God sent you here. So I prayed with her and led her to the Lord. And then she also told me how her daughter was in the Coast Guard and that she wanted me to pray for her. And so I prayed for her daughter, too, that was out on a mission with the Coast Guard. You know, but see, God will so guide and direct us as we are so open to Him. But the key is to be surrendered all to Him, not insist on our own rights or our own ways. And turn in your Bibles or on your phones or in your Bibles, turn to 1 Corinthians 2:1. Because it says that I exhort therefore that first of all, this is why we get born again and why then when we seek more of God and get spirit filled and God wants us to pray, He says, I exhort you therefore that first of all, supplications. Do you know what supplication means? It means a focused plea. Earnest, humble plea. That's in 1 Timothy 2:1. And then it says prayers, intercession. You know what intercession is? Standing in the gap for others. That you plead their case before God. And Isaiah 43:26 says, put me in remembrance. Let us contend together. State your case that you may be acquitted. So we're to plead the case. That's what intercession is. We stand in the gap for others. And that's a type of prayer. And it says, and give thanks. Be made for all men. So we're supposed to do this for all men. Supplications, prayers, intercession, giving of thanks, be made for all men, for kings, and for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceful life in all godliness and honesty. And Romans 8:34 says that Christ intercedes for us. It's he that died, and that's what we're going to be celebrating this Easter Sunday, the resurrection of Jesus Christ. It's Christ that died, yes, rather that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also makes intercession for us. And then like the rest of that scripture says, giving thanks be made for all men in that 1 Timothy 2:1. And verse 2 goes on to say, for kings and for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. Why is our world in the mess that it's in? Even the United States of America. Do you know whose fault it is? It's the church. I remember Dad Hagen telling us back when, you younger generations, you're not going to remember this, but President Nixon, there was Watergate scandal. And the Lord told Dad Hagen, he said, it's not Nixon's fault of what happened. He said, it's the church's fault because the church didn't pray. He said, come that judgment day, it's the church. It's not Nixon, because the church did not pray. Why is our world in the mess that it's in today? Because the body of Christ isn't praying like they need to pray. We need to pray. We need to intercession. This says, first of all, we need to be praying for the President of the United States. We need to be praying for kings and all those in authority, even in other countries. Pray for them. Pray for Israel. We need to be lifting them up that they would walk in the wisdom and the knowledge and the ability of God, and make decisions according to the Word of God. We need to be praying, people. I don't want to put fear in anybody, but there's sleeper cells all over the area. I mean, all over in the United States. Just look what happened in Texas, the explosion that happened there. It's because the enemy is out there. The devil is out there. He moves through the people. Just like God has to move through people to get things done. That's why we need to pray. That's why we need to intercede and even give thanks to the Lord and worship God and praise Him and give Him glory and honor and praise that, oh God, you move in the United States of America. You make a way where there is no way. Praying over what the Supreme Court judges are trying to make decisions upon. Pray protection over people, because it's the spiritual wickedness in heavenly places that we're coming against. It's not man. It's the spiritualness, but we have to pray. And then we got to do our part and get out and vote in the primaries. We got to get out and vote in the election. We need to encourage others to do the same thing. But it's going to, we win by praying first. I remember another thing Dad Hagen saying. He said, when I go to heaven, he said, I'm not going to be the one that gets the reward for the miracles, the signs, the wonders, the healings, the sermons. He said, it's going to be the intercessors that get. I had the privilege of meeting an intercessor lady, some old-time prayers. And that was another thing Dad Hagen said. He goes, you can't lose the old-time prayers, how they prayed and what they did, because they changed things. They made a difference. And he said, that's why you've got to pray. You can't lose how they prayed and what they taught you. And really, I feel like I should do this now. So I had the privilege of knowing some old-time prayers. because I did go to Ramah and I stayed in Oklahoma for about 10 years. Therefore, God saw that I had divine connections and appointments. And I got with some old-time prayers. One of them was a lady people don't know, but her name was Rachel Tiefetiller. But she ended up being one of the intercessors. She preached churches and ministries in place. But she also was one of the intercessors that one day she was in a Kenneth E. Hagin meeting and he was preaching a sermon. And she went, wow, I remember praying that through. I remember praying that. And that confirmed even all the more what Dad Hagin had said. It's the intercessors that are going to get the rewards because they prayed, they interceded, they saw that things come to pass. And another couple that I got to, and I got to be in inner circles, like in a small room, praying with these people. And I believe it was for such a time as this. Because that's something the Lord told me a couple of months ago. That's why I finally said to Pastor, I feel like God wants me to share something. Because I got to be in with some of those old timers. And one of them was John G. Lake's daughter and son-in-law. Such just an ordinary couple. But they prayed and they loved God. And their names was Wilbur and Gertrude Wright, but it's spelled R-E-I-D-T is how the Wright's spelled. But anyhow, he told of a time about his father-in-law. And so I just want to read you what he got, because this was something. This was about an angel of the Lord, and we've been hearing about angels lately more, that to commission the angels, and that angels do things. Well, anyhow, I'm just going to read this. This is what Wilbur said about his father-in-law. This is one of his times. He couldn't sleep well at times and would get up in the night. And one night he got up and he went down to Mount Tabor Park. He lived in the state of Washington, John G. Lake did. He had his Bible with him, and the path lit up into the park. A black light was coming down the path, and I thought it might be a policeman, a security guard, but it wasn't. It was an angel. The angel came and said, I want to take you on a journey. And the angel had wreaths. Black, pink, and white ones. As they flew, the angel would drop a wreath. A black wreath on a church meant that it had faded away out of what God really called them to do. A pink wreath for one who was striving, continuing on, and a white wreath was for one who was victorious. The victorious church. One instant, they were going across China, and there was a man, his wife, a girl, and a boy, 9 to 12 years old. They were lying on the ground. And the angel took a white wreath, and he wept tears over the wreath that became diamonds. And he swooped down, and he laid it by the head of the dead missionary. And the angel said to Lake, these have given their all. But when we got back to Portland, Lake turned to the angel, and he discerned the heart of the angel was overburdened. Then the angel said, listen to this, people. This is why we got to pray. The angel said, human selfishness, human pride have consumed, has dissipated the glory and the heavenly power that God once gave to this move as you have beheld tonight. And we were not at the foot of the path again, but just a step or two away. And my heart cried out. This is John Lake. He cried out, "Angels, these are all struggling and want an ideal. What constitutes real Pentecost?" Lake asked. "What ideal should we hold before the minds of men for the will of God to be exhibited through a movement like this?" During all this time, I carried my Bible in my hand. Reaching for my Bible, the angel reached for his Bible. He opened it to the book of Acts, chapter 2, and over the portion of Scripture, and proceeding throughout the books of Acts, said, "Through this great revelation, this is Pentecost, that God gave through the heart of Jesus Christ. Strive for this, contend for this, teach the people to pray for this. This alone will meet the necessity of the human heart, and this alone will have the power to overcome the forces of darkness." And when the angel departed, he said, "Pray, pray, pray. Teach the people to pray. Prayer, prayer, much prayer, persistent prayer is the door into the entrance of the heart of God." What are we contending for in this place? We are contending for the glory of God to fall. We're contending for Jesus meetings. We're contending that people's lives are so changed. But people, it won't happen if we don't pray. We got to pray. We need to pray, 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 and teach others to pray. It's so vital that we pray. That we just have to pray. We got to pray. I'm going to go to some prophecies that the out of the blueprint prophecies. And this was the first one that came in October 2019. "I desire," says the Spirit of grace, "as I have promised in my word, to pour out my Spirit on all flesh, that your sons, your daughters would prophesy, your old men should dream dreams, your young men should see visions, and upon my servants and handmaidens I will pour out my Spirit in these last days, says the Spirit of grace." That's Joel 2:26. "I am calling you as a body. I'm calling you as a church, no matter where you live, to bring forth intercession in these last days with groanings of the Spirit that cannot be uttered by your articulation, by your understanding. Stay in the place of prayer. Stay in a place of commitment. Rescue the harvest in the church. Rescue the harvest in the world. For I desire a harvest among my people as well as among the world. Be diligent in these things. I will help you in these things that must be done in the natural. But as you give yourself to me in the spirit, I will multiply your efforts. I will multiply your time. I'll multiply all those things necessary for you to be kings and priests unto me, says the Lord. There has never and never will be a bunch like you, like the last day church. We are living in an awesome time. You know, the forefathers and all them before and in the Old Testament, they looked for this day. But we're in it. We get to be here in it. We get to help see it come to pass. Back to the prophecy. There has never and never will be a bunch like you, like the last day church. I'm asking you to live up to my expectation of you, says the Spirit of grace. Continue in these last days to seek my face with an earnestness, and you will not be ashamed, says the Spirit of the Lord. This is what God said. God told us this in 2019. And it's for today. We need to be reading those prophecies. Go, they're on the website. And be praying them out and thanking God that it's happening, that the people's doing it. That we are doing it. That we're doing what God has called us to do. You know, Ephesians 6:18 says, pray always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, watching thereunto with all perseverance. That means, perseverance means keep in doing something despite the difficulty or the delay in achieving success. Webster says it's steadfastness, continued effort despite the difficulty, failures, or opposition. And supplication, which I gave you the definition of that earlier, but it's a focused plea. And it says, for all saints. This is how we're to pray. To persevere, to stay in there, to pray. That's why we need to pray in tongues. I know I keep going back to praying in tongues, but that's where the victory's at. That's where the change comes in us. That's where we can mortify the deeds of the flesh. That's how we don't give in to the flesh. When our flesh wants to do something, run to God, the Bible says. Run to God first. Resist the devil and he'll flee. But you got to run to God first. You can't just say, I rebuke you, Satan, in the name of Jesus. Say, no, I'm coming to you in the blood of Jesus. I'm coming to you in the name of Jesus. I have authority over you because of Jesus Christ. I'm not standing in my own righteousness, but I'm taking authority over you, devil. You take your hands off my children. You take your hands off my grandchildren. You take your hands off the body of Christ. We should be praying for our pastors every day. And Pastor Homer and Rosie too. And really praying for the elders of the church, praying for everybody in the church, praying that we do go from glory to glory, that we get in and serve God and do what he's called us to do. Oh, hallelujah. The next one I want to read really is the fourth one, and it's endure the fight. I remember Pastor Dave, that's one of the first things he got about doing the Family Prayer Center, endurance. Endurance was the word. Endure. We got to endure. So here it goes. This is the one October 27th, 2019. Many of your hearts are turned aside fighting the battle, some on many fronts, financially, physically, emotionally. From the drain in the fight of the battle has been part of your distraction. That's why the enemy brings all this stuff. When he brings it, we need to stand up against it and say, no, you don't, devil. You're not going to have your way. I stand in the righteousness of Christ. See, we got to get that. We got to know who we are in Christ Jesus, because then we can go boldly to the throne of grace. Then we can go boldly to the enemy and say, no, you're not doing it. I know a young woman personally, that she went through hell growing up and was tormented. And when she was in high school, and this is how the school did back then, because she's like 25, 26 now. But when she was a junior in high school, they had her go to a play. And they said, don't tell your parents that you had to see this play. And this play had to do with homosexuality, lesbianism, transgender, all that stuff back then. And it affected her life. And really, she was an artist. I mean, she could draw. She would draw these beautiful, beautiful pictures. They were just full of light and life. After she went to that event, her artwork totally changed. I'm not kidding you. She was drawing and even making out of clay demonic figures. She really was. And then she ended up changing to be transgender. And I prayed and I prayed and I prayed and I prayed. Well, guess what? She's free. She has changed from being that way. She has the victory. And she said she's going to give her testimony where other people can be free, because that all that is from the devil. It is not God. And that she's embraced being the woman of God that God created her to be. Had her born a girl. So praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Anyhow, back to this. Many of your hearts are turned aside, fighting the battle. Some of many fronts, financially, physically, emotionally, for the drain in the fight of the battle has been part of your distraction. But I say to you, lift yourself up, shake yourself, and let me stir you. Let me stir you beyond the place that you walk at today. Let this be a place where I infuse my strength into your hearts, that it goes beyond a determination of the mind, but a strength infused by my spirit to cause you to begin to continue day and night to what? To pray the mysteries, to walk in the spirit, to pray in my spirit. And then it goes on to say, leave the parking lot today, praying in the spirit, fellowshipping at time all through the day with me and others, intermittent praying. Find yourselves praying in the spirit, because in it, my desire is to lift you up. I desire to take you past the burdens and the fight. I've asked you to endure the fight. I've asked you to endure in the fight, but I've not asked you to continue the things that have come that bring the fight. I've not asked you to endure sickness or depression or poverty as to let them rule over you or lord over you, but I've asked you to endure the fight against them, a good fight. But let me take the weight of this fight, says the Spirit of grace. See, God wants to work through us. He doesn't want us to carry it. I mean, it says, cast all your cares on me, he says. We're to cast it on him. That doesn't mean be like, you got a fishing pole. You throw the line out there to catch a fish. You know, you cast that out there. And then you reel it back in. Well, when we cast something on the Lord, we're to leave it there. We're not to reel it back in. We're to leave it. We're to let it in God's hands. And anytime we think about it, this is how we do it. Anytime we think about it, we address it right off. And we say, No, it's not going to be. I've had trouble with my back at times. And I thank God now for a couple weeks, I've been totally pain-free. Years ago, I was pain-free, and then it came back. But I stood, and I kept saying no. And whenever the pain came, I'd say, no, pain, you cannot be here. Devil, I'm not taking this back on me. I'm healed. I'm whole. Endure. Endure in the fight is what God says. But you have to address it. Don't just ignore it. Don't just let it be there. But address the enemy and say, no, you're not going to have my family. No, I'm not going to have this sickness. I'm healed. I'm whole. Goes on to say, while you are worshiping me and giving yourself over to tongues and to my word, know this, that I'm building you up on your most holy faith. I'm preparing inside of you a continual answer against those things that have come to lead you astray with such a force against your emotions that it's hard to stand. Let me shore you up. Let me be a father to you. Let me once again get over to you how much I love you as sons and as my daughters. In my strength, in my affirmation of my love to you, there is a great strength, says the Spirit of grace. Give yourself over to this place. The more you do it, the more you'll come up. the more you'll stand. And when you forget for a day or a season, go right back in. I will continue to be there to remind you, you're not lost. You're mine. I know where you're at. I'm about out of time. But we got to stand. We got to pray. We got to keep pressing in. We got to say no to the flesh. We still have things that come up. But what do? We run to God. Resist the devil. And he flees. We keep going into God. We stand for healing. Brother Hagin taught in healing school. The reason they had such success of people having healing, he would assign the people and he would tell them, okay, this is what I want you to do. 3 times a day, he said, I want you to pick out 1 healing scripture. And 3 times a day, I want you to speak that scripture to your body and meditate on it. Then I want you to pray in tongues a little bit over it and speak it again. And if another healing scripture comes to you, that's fine, say that, but go back to the one that you really have on your heart to stand for that healing. And this one lady's testimony, she got healed of cancer, and then she went to Rhema, and she's in Rhema, and the cancer comes back. And so the professor at school said, well, you can go over to healing school for that first hour for the class. And so she did that. And they always have people work with the people one-on-one, especially those type of cases. And they were working with her, and it was like this lady, she just couldn't get the breakthrough. She wasn't following through with the assignment of speaking the word, praying in the spirit over that word, and speaking the word and doing that at least 3 times a day. So they went to the person over the school at that time. Brother Hagin had someone else heading it up where he wasn't there doing it. And so they took her in, and the lady said that was in charge at that time, she told her, she said, why aren't you doing this? And she said, I don't know. It just seems so hard. I can't. So she said, well, this is what we're going to do. There was 2 of the helpers and that lady and the one in charge. So she had those two workers go ahead, speak that lady's favorite scripture out that she was standing on, pray in tongues over it, and speak the word again. And both of those people did it. The leader did it. And then the leader said, I noticed the lady's face changed. She knew she was going to be next. So then the lady did it. She went ahead and did it. So then she said, okay, this is Friday. I want you to go home this weekend. And she said, I want you 3 times a day to meditate that scripture and do just like what we did here today. I don't want you not to do it. I want you to do it. And she goes, and I'll see you Monday morning in here. So on Monday morning, when she came back and she saw the head person come in, she went to talk to her right away. And she goes, no, wait, let's just go to my office. So they went to her office. And the leader said, well, did you do what I asked? And she said, no, I didn't. She said, I did it every hour. I did it every hour Friday. I did it every hour Saturday. I did it every hour Sunday. And I know I'm healed of this cancer. And I'm going back to the doctor. And I'm going to get the report. And she did go to the doctor and got the report that the cancer was all gone. That it was all gone. So praise the Lord. But I want to leave us with this. John G. Lake was in the state of Washington. And I'm sure you've heard how the state of Washington is and how it's so, they've had so many riots and all this perversion and all this stuff. But John G. Lake at one time lived there. All the bars were closed. Everything was closed down. He had healing healing houses there, healing rooms where people came and got healed and set free. But what happened? The generations didn't pick it up. The generations didn't keep in there. You got to keep praying. If we want to see the glory of the Lord in this place, and we want to see Jesus meetings, and we will, we're going to see the glory of the Lord fall in here. We're going to see, have the Jesus meetings. This place won't be big enough. This grounds won't be big enough to hold all the people of what God has planned to do. But we've got to pray. We got to do our part. What's going on in our United States of America is the church's fault. It's the church that didn't get out and vote over the years, thinking, oh, I don't need to vote. Oh, well, what will be, God's going to have his way. We don't have to do anything. God's going to have his way. God's all sovereign. No, it's up to us. He has to have people to work through. Why do you think he sent Jesus Christ? He had to send Jesus to redeem us back. He has to work through mankind. He needs us. We are his hands, his feet, his eyes, his mouth. We're it, people. You're it. We're it. So I'd just like you all to stand, and I want to pray before Pastor comes up. Father, I just praise you and I thank you for this word tonight. That, Lord, it's you, it's not me. It's your word, and even some of these prophecies. I still had another one, which was number 7, so you guys read it sometime. But Father, I just praise you and I thank you. And I seal this word in our hearts. I pray that we change. I pray that we do go from glory to glory in you, and that we will do our part. That we'll say yes, God. We'll say no to the flesh. We'll say no to, I want to go to this. I want to go to that. I want to do this. I want to do that. No, let's take some time and pray. Let's maybe cut this out so we can spend the time in prayer and pray for our government. Pray for revival across this land, because the revival, Lord, is only going to come as we pray. So, Lord, help us pray. Holy Ghost, lead us, guide us, direct us, and help us pray. Help us do our part. Show us what our part is. God, you so want us to hear your voice, to know your voice, and not follow any others. So, Father, I thank you. I thank you for having your way. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thank you,
Jesus. Mm-hmm. Hallelujah. Thank you, Marcia, for another message on prayer. Amen. Hallelujah. Have you ever heard of prayer around here? Hallelujah. So we appreciate it, Marcia. Thank you so much. Hallelujah. Well, amen. You've been to church, and make sure you tell Marcia how much you appreciate it. Amen. And Father, we thank you, and we give you all the praise and glory. In Jesus' name, we will see you all Sunday. God bless you. We'll see you Sunday.